Welcome to This Week in FX PhD, your weekly wrap-up and behind the scenes at fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD, week number two of the January 2015 term, now in full swing. How's it going, my friend?
Good. It feels like it's award day.
It is.
Nomination day.
It is not only the term in full swing, but yes, award season is in full swing and time to start. Lucky this, time to start voting and reviewing some of the entries for those of you who are members of the VES. But yes, Mike, in the last 24 hours or 12 hours almost, both the VES award nominees have been announced. And as we've talked in the past, the winners or people who are achieving awards under the CITEC banner have been announced as well.
Yes. It's obviously a different sort of award, the CITEC award, because it's not, you know, just what was the best this year. So they don't sort of announce them on the night. That being said, the awards are announced today and given in February.
And I guess you could say the competition has been happening over the last, well, you know, several months in vetting process.
Yeah, and what's fascinating to me is the difference between what was suggested that might win an Oscar or CITEC.
Were you thinking that too?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's just like, I almost feel like, why do we publish the consideration list? Because it's as if it's they're putting up a smoke screen. So just to explain what happens, if you looked at our August 16th post on FX Guide about the CITEC Oscar consideration list, they said, oh, these are the things we're kind of considering to give CITEC awards to, right? And so you go, okay, fair enough. And there are things there like neutral density filters that removed infrared contamination that made it all the way through to the list that was published this morning, and some other things to do with DLP projectors. But let's just look at some other things for a second. And so you say, okay, well, DreamWorks Feather System, didn't see that. Barbershop and Speed Tree, they both made it all the way through. And then you get, it's not too bad. Actually, now I look at it, my memory may be playing tricks on me because it isn't as bad as I kind of thought it was. There are some, I guess there are new additions to the list.
That's it.
Yeah. There was a whole thing on digital technologies for high density physical destruction sim that clearly exploded from what had been promoted or rather prompted by work out of DD to include stuff that, is different. So we jump now to what's
Really quickly though, because we have talked about this in the past, and you and I attended a session regarding this. But that's one of the things about that announcement, isn't it? Is it's very different process. That announcement is basically a public announcement, frankly, for letting people know what they're considering, so that if maybe you think there's other things that are similar to those things that are mentioned, now's the time to actually mention those to the committee.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, I get that it's...
Just for those people who are listening, yeah. I mean, may not be aware of that process. It's very different. They put out this release at the time, and they go through a very serious vetting process to make sure that the things that are presented or the award winners are truly unique and did, in fact, change the filmmaking process, right? And so I guess, to your point now, sorry to interrupt, is that there are things that probably people responded to and said, hey, what about us or what about this technology?
Yeah, it's just like if you look at, yes, absolutely. And so what happens is that Weta says, I think Barbershop is something that's, you know, significant and interesting. And then the committee reviews that and then they decide, as they did, to award Barbershop. And the level that it's awarded at is completely unknown until today. So whether Barbershop is considered to be incredibly significant and get, you know, the highest level award possible, or which would be a full-on, you know, plaque or the actual Academy statue. And the Academy statue, by the way, only went to the DLP camera projection system. But and congratulations to Larry Hornbeck for getting it, don't get me wrong. But, like, my point is that you have no idea when they're publishing the list how significant anything is. And then, as John says, somebody may come along and say, hey, I saw you looking at systems for interactive grooming and direct manipulation of digital hair. Just so you know, I did all this work before they did that work, which is not what happened. I did all that work before those guys did that. You should honor me. And so what you sometimes get, which I think we're seeing this year, is you get these kind of splits. We had one like a couple last year, but we've got one this year where somebody will get something and somebody else will get something. And the feeling is that it was not one preceded the other, but they both are, you know, kind of significant and happened around the same time, not that one preceded the other and thus led to the other. So, for example, Bullet is being honoured, awesome physics library, but so is FISBAM for ILM's destruction system coming out of the work done at, Berkeley, right? Or Stanford, anyway. So both FISBAM from ILM and Bullet, clearly brilliant systems. But in addition to that, you've got the finite element analysis DMM stuff that's also honoured. So those three destruction pipelines clearly came out of the research that was being done following on from, which one? Following on from the thing I mentioned earlier about the destruction toolkit that DD suggested and the finite element destruction from Berkeley. So, but you know, like the unified HPC multi-physics simulation platform from Weta, I don't see reappearing. So for whatever reason, the geniuses, and they quite frankly are literally geniuses that are sitting on the SciTech committee, because we know some of them, they're very, very bright people, have gone, yeah, we're going to honor these ones and not that one.
And totally from that session as well, it's like, and they take the job very seriously about making sure they are awarding the very correct people, and they, you know, it's really a sensible and not extreme, but a thorough vetting process for these awards,
which won't stop me from completely arguing with them right now with you. No, but seriously, I was really interested. I mean, super interested that Kim LaBrie and the guys got acknowledged for the work they did on the universal capture at Escape.
Yeah,
you know, for the around the time of the Matrix. That's awesome, right? Because I've always thought that work to be really, really terrific. But I've got to say, and clearly I am in a minority, but why do you think they gave such high marks, as it were, to the Tiffin development of the IR contamination neutral density filters? Like, I would not have said that was special award commendation level stuff. I mean, I get that it's really good that you've got ND filters that don't turn your blacks magenta, but it hardly seems off the dial kind of breakthrough compared to some of the other stuff. And where the heck did the HP Dreamcolor display
where'd that
come from?
I thought that's what I was curious about. That was mine. I think the filter one is a nod to actual production, but more than anything else, I guess. As part of it, this you know, award season, you know, so much of it has to do, frankly, with a lot of post-production in this. But where did that come from? Did that come from the OLED category? Because was the OLED mentioned in the first? I didn't think it was. I don't remember seeing it.
Okay.
So potentially that came out of that discussion. Would you think maybe that?
So Sony prompted the OLED, and clearly they gave it to the OLED, but also honored the Dreamcolor. I mean, when we got, I remember you and I talking about the Dreamcolor and what a brilliant display.
It's so old. And you know, they're just now recognizing it based upon that.
Yeah. But the OLED technology, while awesome, is now in decline. Like, it's, you know, and this is my opinion now, but it seems to be manufactured less and less of the white knight that's going to come through and save us all, and because they couldn't get the yields up and stuff. So really interesting that the OLED, I mean, here's the other thing. It just seems to me like developing OLED technology and developing the Dreamcolor display, and for that matter, finite element analysis destruction pipeline, is a lot harder than developing a filter that reduces IR contamination. Now, that clearly demonstrates my lack of understanding of IR filters, because clearly cleverer people than me think that Tiffin deserve it. And I think that Tiffin deserve to be acknowledged. It just doesn't seem that it should be so highly commended, because in my world, in my head, getting finite element analysis stuff to work, that's like really hard. You know, and yeah. And also, was the Open VDB stuff? Was that in
that
the
was
run?
Actually, because I ran into Ken at after it up in Vancouver, I think. I was talking.
Can I just say that those guys really deserve something? Like, that is just.
Yeah,
really,
and I think cool the no-brainer stuff. One also is the DLP aspect.
The DLP?
Yeah. I mean, I think that one, when you saw that one come out, I think it'd be really hard pressed to say that's had a bit of an impact in the whole film pipeline and presentation pipeline.
So I'm guessing SpeedTree's system for modeling and animation rendering digital vegetation, which I think is well earned, prompted the DreamWorks animation foliage system. And so they basically split that and awarded to both.
Yeah. It's, you can kind of see
that. It doesn't take
that
away from one of them, but it's
actually, yeah. I'll tell you, man, we'll talk about that session, but it's really actually useful. That was one of the most useful sessions we went to. What was that part of
it?
DigiPro. That was it. That was just, yeah. It really helps explain this. I mean, it's like this year, I feel like I can understand and explain what's going on under the hood here for some of these, at least. Whereas I probably couldn't have done a job like that a year earlier.
So the development for the concept of the MAT Tower Cam Twin Peak portable remote controlled telescopic column that smoothly positions a camera up to 24 feet vertically. I know shit about that. Seriously, do you know about the MAT Tower Cam Twin Peak? I've not even heard of that before. I think that's good. I will pay attention to that. I mean, I feel like a lot of these people, not a lot of them, I mean, you know, every time the list comes out, there are friends of ours or people that we know that are on the list. And I think, you know, brilliant that they've been. But then there's always stuff, especially some more obscure stuff in the production of things that I go.
Exactly.
Really?
I mean, as much as you're kind of on the pulse of, you know, production and stuff, but it is very true that, you know, this is not just the scientific animation side we tend to think of as technical. It's items that actually transform the filmmaking process and fundamentally change the filmmaking process. And obviously that reaches to production, which I think by nature we're less familiar with. But it does seem quite dominated, however, doesn't it, by what I would consider post-production awards versus production?
Well, yeah, I guess, because you've also got Leica with a series of lenses. You've got the filters, which are highly, and the DLP. It's as if there are less production ones, but they're taking out the golden rings. They're like,
right.
Like the monitors are kind of traditional non, I mean, they are post in one sense, but you know, they're not in another. They're not software post. The filters, the DLP stuff, that's all really significant. And production-ish, as I said, with the stabilizing tower thing, which I know absolutely zip about. And I've got to say, I'm not that... I don't know, maybe you are. Are you really familiar with the Biscuit Junior?
No.
Okay. Because if you were, you could really explain it to me right now.
Not going
to
happen.
Yeah. What is the Biscuit Junior, for love of God? Okay. Like it's a... yeah. What? Okay, well, I have some research to do to find out what that is. But again, did we see Mr. Biscuit? No, we did. The Biscuit Junior was in
original.
The... that's the camera car thing. Okay, now I know where we are. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't... Yeah. All right. Fair enough. But, yes. I guess I pay more attention to the, you know... post stuff that is stuff that
the DLP issue, there are actually two awards related to that, an Academy plaque as well as the coveted Oscar statuette, which is of course the highest other than the Sawyer Award. What award was I thinking? But anyway, the Oscar statuette is a higher level award than either the certificates or the plaques.
Yeah,
but there were two. There was both a plaque and a statuette related to the DLP technology.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. By the way, the Biscuit Junior, the one I'd forgotten about, that is kind of awesome. It's a massive car rig thing. They used it like on tons of films, from Star Trek to Thor to Mission Impossible kind of thing, and it's like it's got. Air suspension and tons of stuff. You want to shoot, you know, car stuff, and it's serious. Like, the guys did serious work. It's not like that was a how can I put this? It's not like a minor innovation. It's a huge amount of work to get that sucker to do stuff. I think the trailer platform is like 17 feet long. Like something, is that right? That's about right. Yeah, but it's just an awesome. Movable, platformy, drivable trailer thing. So that is actually really cool, and I would give my eye teeth to play with one of those suckers going down a closed-off freeway. But I don't think there's anything here that you go, well, that was obvious, that was pre-existing, that was what we got last year was a book, which was really unusual that we hadn't seen one of those in living memory. And what we've got this time, I reckon, is just I'm just kind of stunned that the Tiffin guys who are really nice guys, don't get me wrong, but they just got a, the special plaque, which just seems like maybe, I don't know, as I said.
Must be quite hard. That, must be.
Either that or they were coming from a 0 point. You know, like, I mean, you could, I guess, conceivably argue that destruction pipelines, as cool as they are, have been built on other destruction pipelines that have been built on, you know, since we first started making CG stuff. But, yeah, the finite element analysis stuff that those guys did and the FISBAM stuff, and that makes really cutting-edge, hardcore stuff. But hey, what do I know?
I would say that is the case because these, like, as I said, you know, it is it's just the panel and the people who actually decide these things. Obviously, as we start out early talking about, it's really put a lot of effort into it. So they would not make the list if it was not worthy.
Though clearly, John, they'd make a better list if they included you and I on the panel. just joking. Okay, well, anyway, congratulations to Texas Instruments for going so well with the DLP. Getting the actual Oscar statue is really serious deal.
It very much is. But then, so we have that end of things, but then we have the, of course, our wheelhouse, so to speak, the artistry, and that's, of course, the VES Awards, which is certainly very much targets our industry and the visual effects industry. Those were announced today, and those involve a large number of nominations, and from stuff, visual effects and feature films to commercials to games, and more. It's really a very broad list of awards covering multiple areas in the industry. And, it's good to see a lot of familiar faces in the list as usual. And, as well as some of the projects our partner at FXI, Jeff, worked on as well.
Yeah. I totally reckon we called it on the, so the lead sort of feature film coming out of the VES Awards is Planet of the Apes, which we named as kind of a favorite in our wide piece that we did. Not that the other films aren't awesome, because Guardians, Interstellar, Maleficent, Hobbit, and X-Men are all really, really good films. But leading the pack, just in terms of, you know, count, is Planet of the Apes. And the other thing about it is really interesting. If you go down and look at digital characters, which is something that we've just highlighted in the 200th episode of FX Guide TV, which has just gone out, Weta, for that film, for Dawn of Planet of the Apes, have got two, both Caesar and Cobra. So of the four characters, the other two being from Maleficent and Rocket from Guardians. But yeah, the two are from Planet of the Apes. It's pretty interesting, actually, because I definitely felt like last year the action, as it were, the real juice in visual effects was in digital characters. And to have two characters there, I think Weta's pipeline on characters is just spectacular. I mean, I just really do think it's absolutely spectacular. Hey, what about in TV? What did you think about what was happening in the away from feature films for a second? In the nominations for some of the feature film stuff. There's some interesting stuff, because this is an area we get not only television, but we get commercials and a few other things, and games.
Games, you know, and episodic television. Yeah, it's really fantastic. Yeah. I think it's a good list. I don't see anything that I think is necessarily lacking from the list. Commercials are a bit harder, because actually the titles of the film, the title of the spot is hard to see. But again, we see a couple, you know, congrats also to FX PhD Prof Russ. Was nominated an animated character in a commercial broadcast program or video game as well. But yeah, it seems that the sensibly in perusing the list that it seemed to be sensible. I think, again, it's tough to say. That's actually one thing that's really fantastic about the VES Awards, is that as a voter on the awards, we're really presented with quite a bit of information. Breakdowns, sensible breakdowns on these various projects. It actually takes a considerable amount of time to go through them if you want to go through them sensibly, because there is such a wide range of things, from commercials to even the student projects, right, that get submitted over time. But I got to say, for some of the commercials, I assume that some of these commercials are the ones that I'm thinking of, but I'm not completely certain.
It was interesting to see that we got two Game of Thrones noms in Outstanding Compositing, I thought, because Game of Thrones has produced a bunch of really good stuff. I was glad to see Vikings is represented as well. And, of course, for semi-selfish reasons, because their friends involved Cosmos in the Sims mm-hmm. stuff. I thought that was all really interesting in television. I do like that they get good attention. The other one that is really fascinating for me in this VS Awards, because it sort of gets mentioned virtually nowhere else and they do outstanding work, is the stuff that's done in terms of rides venue, and special venue stuff.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah, the Hogwarts Express stuff is of real interest. I don't know that I've seen some of the others, but the Hogwarts Express was a massive undertaking. But so you get to see not only the mention of these, like as John said, but for, say, the Hogwarts Express in outstanding visual effects and a special venue project, if you're a voter, you get to see, you know, like a kind of behind the scenes of how they put it together. And that stuff is not available to anyone else. We can't publish it on FX Guide. It's mm-hmm. normally mega, like it's way beyond what you'd get almost anywhere else.
They spend a lot of time preparing those. I mean, talk to any of our friends at some of the facilities who lead some of the efforts, and it's a tremendous undertaking to prepare the materials for this.
I hope Second Son scores in real-time visuals in video games, because I thought Second Son was outstanding. We're going to do some more stuff on Second Son. I think it's just a really... Call of Duty is good. Alien Invasion, I haven't seen. I'm really keen to play, but Second Son is just outstanding visuals. We have a story about that, obviously, on FX Guide, in terms of the particle stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this.
I'm just perusing the list and going through. But yeah, I don't see anything odd on it.
I don't know about odd. I don't think it's odd, but I think it was interesting that The Flash made it into visual effects. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you'd kind of expect. Game of Thrones, you'd expect. Flash, I didn't expect that it would have got enough juice yet to get in. What do you think about in Outstanding Feature Film? I mean, is it just really now a battle royale between Lego Movie and Big Hero 6?
Yes. I don't think any doubt. I've not seen Big Hero 6 myself.
Didn't you get a screener?
But I do have a screener. Yep.
Yeah. Obviously, we have done a story on the renderer of Big Hero 6 and done stories on Lego Movie. We've included Animal Logic and Lego in our 200th episode on character animators, because I think the character animation work in Lego was outstanding. Not least of which is, of course, if you think about it, all the sort of techniques that you want to use for traditional animation, squash and stretch and all the kind of facial stuff you're doing, you're really limited on those Lego characters. So they made a fun, expressive, entertaining, engaging film, and you couldn't have squash and stretch, you couldn't have the faces kind of doing the normal character animation stuff. You had to get so much of it out of posing and timing that I think it was a exquisite execution of stuff. I mean, I think Big Hero 6 is Disney really doing a throwdown to Pixar themselves to themselves.
Right.
Because if you'd have told me that was a Pixar film, man, has Disney animation just come back with a vengeance? It's not been swamped by Pixar. It's actually just benefited enormously from being inside the same family as those guys, I guess. Maybe it's just a healthy competition, but wow, Big Hero 6. You know, when you think back, be pre-Disney-Pixar merger, and they were doing animated films, and God, there was one with Brad Pitt with the lead voice that was like some kind of pirate thing, and I can't remember. It was like a classic story being done by them, you know, one of the classic fables. And I can't even remember what it was, and it kind of went to the cinemas and went away as quickly as it did. Mm-hmm. Big Hero 6, Maleficent as well. There's a lot of juice coming out of Disney before you even hit all the Marvel stuff. The other one that I saw since I've spoken to you last, in outstanding support for visual effects in a photoreal motion picture, which is basically to say it's not a big effects film, but it's a film that has effects. There's some really interesting films. The Imitation Game, Unbroken, and Birdman being three of the five. Unbroken was shot here in Australia, and I found it to be a really good film, and I thought the visual effects were really good. Birdman is just about the most unusual and interesting and curious and divisive film. I've got friends that have seen it that just love it to death, and others that just can't get past the fact that they never have an edit. I mean, they have edits, obviously, but they're hidden. But it's just one continuous take of an entire feature film, and they just get completely taken out of the film by watching how cleverly they don't cut, which is kind of interesting. And then Imitation Game, you know, is just a classic, in a visual effects center, it's a classic case of doing visual effects that are seamless and
time period.
Yeah. So Grand Budapest Hotel, everybody tells me is spectacularly good. I just haven't seen it yet. Have you?
Yeah, that's the one on the list I have seen. Yes. Big Wes Anderson fan. So very early on saw that. Beautiful, beautiful in there, but very, very different because it's incredibly stylized. Its environments to me are much, from what I've seen of the clips from the other films, especially The Imitation Game and Birdman, the environments and sets are much more stylized than the other ones. It's a very surreal photoreal live-action feature motion picture.
See, Birdman has both, because Birdman has this weird sequence that's, you know, major effects, like just, I'm talking Avengers level kind of, but the rest of it is just tons of seamless. So you've got that seamless Imitation Game type stuff, and then you've got the, you know, almost like Unbroken has a bunch of, well, that has some effects that are pretty obvious, I guess, in the sense that you don't expect the actors were in plane crashes. But, you know, it was, yeah, Divergent, I don't know why I was as impressed with Divergent. Imitation Game, I loved the film to death, so I guess that influences me heavily. Birdman, I found to be one of the most interesting films of last year. So.
Am I talking out of school? Do you have a family connection to the Imitation Game? That whole
only not to the film,
not to the film, to the actual
yeah, no, to Bletchley House. So what John's referring to is that my aunt worked at Bletchley. So my father was Korean Navy, and his sister went to work at Bletchley and was involved in the whole enigma. She was not involved in any sense in cracking the code. She was involved in dealing with the code breaking apparatus. In other words, you know, the process whereby they would decode and deal with stuff. So she was, you know, not a code breaker. She was one of the people working at Bletchley. She obviously knew what was going on, and she was under... In fact, she's passed away just in this last year, but she was... they went back to Bletchley, and it was funny because she was initially really kind of hostile about going back because it wasn't actually the best working conditions, as you could probably imagine. Right. And there were like no guys around per se because most of the place was dominated by women because there was a lot of admin in processing the enormous amount of stuff coming in from the listening posts and then taking that and dealing with it. But yeah, it's a incredibly honorable thing, The Imitation Game. There are some aspects of it. I mean, obviously you've read tons and heard tons about Bletchley Park, but there are a couple of things that are sort of cinematic stretches, but it's way better, John, than U571, which decided to erase the fact that it was a British set of naval officers and seamen that found a sub and just make them Americans because...
USA,
hey,
USA.
USA, yeah. I was just like, really? Really?
Because
like,
it's can like you one of the crowning
achievements that the English did. It'd be literally like saying, hey, we think, you know, that whole ride of Paul Revere would be much better if it had been an Australian that had done it.
Yeah.
Because I think it would sell better. And you'd be like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was a major rewrite.
What? The Manhattan Project was actually done by a bunch of New Zealand scientists.
Koreans, actually. No.
Anyway, yes. You know that landing on the moon thing? I just think that the work done by Papua New Guinea just totally nailed it. Anyway, yes, but I was outraged. I even heard a VES presentation on that, and somebody asked that question before I could. And they went, well, it's just one of the realities of filmmaking, really, isn't it, to sell to an audience? I was like, you bastards.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, sorry. There's, you know, artistic license and everything, as you point. I think the things you mentioned that were slightly taken for narrative or changed. Makes sense. Selma, there have been some complaints about the portrayal of the president and his input. I mean, I think some of those things are natural, but no. Basically, co-opting the story, stealing the effect, and saying it's the states. Americans? Yeah, not so much. That's pushing
a bit
too
America,
far.
No, wrong, no, yeah. You guys have got enough things that you've done that I could, you know, it's like you put people on the moon. You know, you've done your bit. You don't have to do everything. Let some other countries like England take credit for the hard work that they did.
Fair enough.
Also, I will say this. It was terrific just watching that and thinking that somebody who was so victimized for and appallingly thus for being gay could be so honored that today the sort of the Nobel Prize for computing is a Turing Award, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just there's no doubt that the contribution of Alan Turing is recognized internationally and rightly, but it's you know, it was also horrendous to think what happened to somebody that was so brilliant, so important, so such a major contributor, just because he happened to be gay. He gets basically chemically castrated. I mean, it's just appalling. So, it's good that that wasn't... I mean, some would argue that they didn't show his homosexual life in any explicit way. They just referred to it, and maybe that was true, but certainly they didn't gloss over the fact that that the English, while doing so much good with Turing and the team, also committed an amazing atrocity against him purely because of the fact that he was gay, which is just outrageous. Anyway, yeah, I like that film a lot, as you can probably tell. Hey, so you with me or not? I mean, I sucked my neck out and said that I thought Dawn's going to win the Oscar.
Do you think, concur.
If you,
yeah.
If it wasn't Planet of the Apes, what do you think it would be?
The runner on it, huh?
Well, if you looked at this list here, for example, just imagine that this is the nominees for the Oscar, which it isn't, but you've got Dawn of Planet of the Apes, Guardians, Interstellar, Maleficent, Hobbit, and X-Men.
I think for the same reason, I don't think I'll start narrowing down to what it's not. I don't think it would be The Hobbit.
No, because I think that there would be a sense that
similar.
More of the same, yeah. Even though they've done spectacular work, it would be perceived as being stuff that has been done before, even if that's not true, yeah.
Guardians would be on probably the strength of the characters. Because as far as environments and so forth, I don't think it's as different or, as some of the other, I guess, right?
See, Interstellar is original and different and scientifically valid, but I think it doesn't involve character work, and I think the character work is the juice of last year. So that's why I would agree with you that Guardians is... And I think that's also why Maleficent went so well,
right.
Is because they did outstanding. And it's actually a good film. And I think X-Men is got some spectacularly good sequences.
Certainly.
I think the slow-mo sequence in the jailbreakout is one of the finest individual sequences of last year. Like, that alone is just a really good, solid, works at every level. Funny, engaging, original-looking, involved a lot of good tech. But whether X-Men... Actually, I've got to say, the opening sequence where they're evading the... What's his name? They're jumping through that kind of portal, mm-hmm. and it's right before, in the future, before they go back in time. I think that's another spectacularly good sequence. But I would reckon that you'd have to say that that Interstellar's a dark horse, Guardians would be coming second, but I reckon Dawn...
Yeah.
But, theoretically, Dawn shouldn't be any good, because if you were to criticize The Hobbit as more of the same, which I'm not saying
I think it's a valid point discussion, because it does have an impact on voters, especially in the Oscars, right? Which is what we're talking about.
Yeah. If you look at companies there for a second, and this isn't this simplistic, because obviously a lot of companies work on stuff, especially on Guardians, a lot of companies, but you've got Weta heavily represented in that list because, and this isn't the Oscar noms, but it's certainly the VS noms. You've got Hobbit and Dawn, Planet of the Apes. Dean Egg with Interstellar, which is continuing Paul Franklin's incredibly strong working relationship with one of the best directors in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians being Marvel, which is, let's face it, symptomatic of the fact that Marvel dominates the amount of work being done in visual effects.
Yep.
It's nice to see DD, though, there, because DD, has had its, let's face it, serious ups and downs. So it's great to see them. And then a good collaborative effort with X-Men, mm-hmm. a lot of good companies working on that. But not a knockout year there for ILM. And interestingly, the English having a strong showing, really, if you leave... Well, the non-Americans, I guess.
Right.
Weta and the English having a very strong showing in those. But it'll be interesting to see what the actual Bake Off produces in terms of noms. When is the...
I don't know.
Actual Oscar nominations? Ian will tell me this while I'm researching it, when the actual Oscar nominations come out for the... What? In two days. So by almost the time you'll listen to this. So, yes, we'll get Jeff up at 5 o'clock in the morning to post those. Anyway, all good work.
Yeah, it is.
The best part about the... I think you said it, the best part about the VS Awards is it goes beyond just features. So...
Yeah, it's really great to award other areas and also be very specific in other areas and breakdowns of characters in certain types, animated characters in certain types of films, which I think is great as well, because it's very difficult to compare animated character in a live action film within fully animated movie.
The other thing that's good is you've got Best Outstanding Visual Effects in a Student Project. And so you've got, four projects this year that are student projects that, once again, will allow those individuals to come to the attention of a wider audience. And I don't have the background on the individuals that have produced the film, so there's quite a few of them, like at least a dozen.
I always enjoy them, great when frankly.
Yeah, totally. Because you're going to get the best visual effects supervisors and people in the world, theoretically, being members of the VES that are doing the judging, watching the student film breakdowns, watching the student film stuff. So it's like a killer way to get your CV under the nose of a, yeah. Because think about it, like you've got the people that you exactly want to get to watching your work, paying attention to it, and considering what you did behind the scenes. It's like how to get your showreel under the nose of every great visual effects. Right. Professional working in the industry, as it were. That's not quite true, but it's sort of, you know.
Yeah. It can't hurt.
No, absolutely not. So congrats to everybody involved there. And we'll be obviously following this up with some more serious stuff in both PhD and in background. In fact, I did something on background last week, sort of get your ass in gear, get yourself organized. And when I was asking the forums what everybody wanted, they wanted lots of sort of techie stuff this term. So we're following that up with this week's. We're going to be looking at complex hair sims stuff. So I think we'll have a bit of a geek out in the background fundamentals this term inside FX PhD.
Cool. And just got wind also. Scott Balcom actually finished up a couple of his classes on particles, which are going to be really great as part of the new Flame course. Been kind of checking it out. Yeah, so a lot of fun, and I think as we said last week, Flame's really been seems to be kind of kicking here lately, so it's fun to have those guys involved. And actually, I think one of our profs, Tony, on the Cinema 4D course was actually maybe making a bit appearance on the television show here in the States called 2020. Was that show on, Mike, when you were? That's an old ABC News kind of magazine show. Coming up on Friday night. Having to do with, I forget what, I was just looking right here, but that's kind of cool. He may not make the cut, but he spent a lot of time being filmed and so forth. So that could be on Friday evening here in the States. It'd be cool if he shows up on that. But basically him doing some work, which is kind of cool. But yeah, I think we're in the second week of the term. Things are going really well so far. Those of you who are members know that you can preview the first two classes in all your courses. You don't need to lock in your courses at this point. You don't even need to lock those in, frankly, until next week when the classes start coming out for week number three, because you'll see the first two in every single course that we have under the preview classes page. It's a great way to check those out. We also just got RealFlow up and running on the VPN. Earlier this week for everyone who's following along with that course. And yes, we are working very hard on getting the most recent release of Cinema 4D available on the VPN. And we hope to have that, knock on glass, hope to have that up by the end of the week, if we can. All things going well. Because we'd really love to have the most recent release up and available for all of you. So, yeah.
Excellent. The other thing that happened today is that we saw the new Age of Ultron Avengers trailer released. That'll let you guys pick exactly when John and I are recording this. Yes, that looks good. Nice visual effects in that.
Yeah, I saw. I was in the bar last night watching. That was during the they had the first ever college football, American football championship, where they actually had kind of a mini playoff of sorts. And apparently one of the likely the most watched cable TV show of all time. But anyway, that was part of it. It was quite a long trailer. It felt like about a 2-minute trailer. So it was I mean, it looked great. Obviously, you know, tough to tell when you're in a bar and the way they have the setup on the monitor and stuff like that. But even that being said, it looked pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, I thought it looked really good.
So,
no, really, I totally love the visual effects that we're seeing in that stuff. And you know, Marvel has done amazing stuff. We published something on, I think you and I spoke about it, but Agent Carter. With Sheena as a VFX supervisor for their work in television. And certainly my family really enjoyed Agent Carter. It's not really a new series so much as it is like a sort of a mini series. Like, I think it's 8 eps or 7 eps. But yeah, Disney and Marvel are an incredible force to be reckoned with. And when Avengers goes into full gear, because it's only January and it's May that it comes out, so I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen as it gets closer and starts cranking it out. But yeah, wow, what a what an extraordinary volume of work. It's funny, you know, you kind of look at this and you think, I can't help but think this, right? What was the sort of like scheduling? Like, we need this shot. Okay, but we haven't done that yet. Yeah, we really need that for the trailer. What about this shot? Well, that's good, but we don't need anything. Well, just do that bit. What? And then you sometimes see these shots and then you see them in the actual film and there's like significantly different.
Oh, very there. Different. Yeah, do them only for the trailer type work.
Yeah. What happened to that bit?
I believe that's all too common, as they say nowadays, that yes, let's get it done for the trailer and then we'll get the version done for later promotion. But it's great because it helps build the buzz, and in fact, we're talking about it, and it does, like I said, even in the bar, it looks absolutely phenomenal. So definitely one I'm going to be checking out early on in the process. You may be at FMX during that.
Yes. All right. Well, we should probably wind it up.
We should. I need to get to work. Good to talk to you, as always. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please help spread the word about FXPHD. We just launched the term, so feel free to tweet about it, share links, share the O Week video. We're really proud of the lineup that we have this term. And so I think it's a really great way to start the year.
Yes. It's certainly a term that we've been looking forward to getting into. So it'll be good as we roll stuff out for you guys. We've got some really good shoots coming up and some really interesting stuff happening also in out of the Sydney office, which I'll tell you about next week here on This Week in FX PhD.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.